coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio. Located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And this is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, the 23rd day of January, 2023. I'm Doug Hagman. Thanks for joining me. Thank you so much for your belief and trust in this platform. Need all the help we can get. I'll tell you what, we are under attack like you cannot believe, but we're making it. Obviously, we've been deplatformed on numerous platforms, including Patreon. More information about how to rejoin our group will be forthcoming. So, and a rollout. Like, I am so excited about this new rollout. I worked on it, worked on populating some of my previous articles. I'm going to touch on that in a little bit. And Erica's working on the front side and the merging of the written word as well as the video audio portion of things. And new things coming out just for you. So I'm excited about all of that. I want to get right into the news. You know, just kind of an update right now. These numbers are so staggering. You remember, I know you remember when Biden said the border is secure. And everyone, Mayorkas, everyone is saying the border is secure, right? Since October, 38 pedophiles were known pedophiles were caught crossing in the United States into the United States. In the month of December, this month alone, 10 were caught. This does not include the ones that were not caught. In the month of December alone, 251,487 people. Illegal aliens, were detained and then subsequently released. That's a quarter of a million in the month of December. There were 17 identified terrorists, people on the terrorist watch list, plus another 70,000 gotaways just for the month of December. That translates into about 2,465 people or 2,500 people a day, roughly. And since Biden took over, 1.2 million illegal aliens in this country. 1.2 million. I've got a friend who immigrated from England, the UK. I don't know how many years it took her to get the papers together. Absolutely incredible. She can go down the southern border, walk over. They'll give her a card from, you know, from one of these NGOs, or an NGO will give her a car, debit card. And, social security number, all things good. Court date that she doesn't have to go to. And hey, no one can touch her, apparently. That's one way, right? So when Biden, when Mayorkas, all of these people say that the border is secure, you can give them those figures. Again, a quarter of a million in December, over a quarter of a million. 17 terrorists, 38 pedophiles since October. That's right, pedophiles. 70,000 plus gotaways. About 2,500 per day. And you're looking at 1.2 million since Biden took office. All right. A lot of stuff to get into. The globalist system, of course, the setup of Biden, the Biden crime family, but more importantly, what's really going on there. This is absolutely important to really understand. The weaponization of our government, too, I want to touch on. And some COVID shot news, obviously, I want to get into. And I also want to touch on Ukraine with some video coming from Poland, which you need to know about that. All right. And also the World Economic Forum Yeah, more about that as well. All right. But first, I want to play this. This is under, it's about 4 minutes. A couple of days ago, Tucker Carlson had a very, I believe, a very important segment, video segment that he did. And he mentions the deep state versus, he mentioned the deep state versus Richard Nixon and how that all played out. Now, those of you in my age group, you'll probably remember that. But this is so critically important for reasons that he didn't mention that I will, that when I look at this, I'm thinking, okay, same playbook, different people, but even more so, it's even worse against the American people. All right, so here it is right here. This is video one in the show prep. By the way, folks, please do me a favor. And I'll keep asking you this. I mean, we had 250,000 followers on YouTube. Please subscribe to our channel on Rumble. Please subscribe to our channel on Brighteon. Click the like button, leave a comment, whatever, but please support us in that way. Also on Spreaker and other platforms, we're all across the audio platforms, I believe, still, at least for now. So please follow us there. But this is Tucker Carlson from a couple of days ago talking about the history of the deep state v. Nixon. Here it is.
So if Biden were to be taken down for opening the southern border, a lot of other people would go with him. He had a lot of accomplices. Permanent Washington doesn't want that. And ultimately, and here's the point, permanent Washington is in charge. It's not the democracy you imagine. We're seeing that now. So if you want to understand, if you really want to understand how the American government actually works at the highest levels, and if you want to know why they don't teach history anymore, one thing you should know is that the most popular president in American history was Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon. Yet somehow, without a single vote being cast by a single American voter, Richard Nixon was kicked out of office and replaced by the only unelected president in American history. So we went from the most popular president to a president nobody voted for. Wait a minute, you may ask. Why didn't I know that? Wasn't Richard Nixon a criminal? Wasn't he despised by all decent people? No, he wasn't. In fact, if any president could claim to be the people's choice, it was Richard Nixon. Richard Nixon was reelected in 1972 by the largest margin of the popular vote ever recorded before or since. Nixon got 17 million more votes than his opponent. Less than 2 years later, he was gone. He was forced to resign. And in his place, an obedient servant of the federal agencies called Gerald Ford took over the White House. How did that happen? Well, it's a long story, but here are the highlights, and they tell you a lot. Richard Nixon believed that elements in the federal bureaucracy were working to undermine the American system of government and had been doing that for a long time. He often said that. He was absolutely right. On June 23, 1972, Nixon met with the then CIA director Richard Helms at the White House. During the conversation, which thankfully was tape recorded, Nixon suggested he knew, quote, who shot John, meaning President John F. Kennedy. Nixon further implied that the CIA was directly involved in Kennedy's assassination, which we now know it was. Helms's telling response, total silence. But for Nixon, it didn't matter because it was already over. 4 days before, on June 19th, the Washington Post had published the first of many stories about a break-in at the Watergate office building. Unbeknownst to Nixon and unreported by the Washington Post, four of the five burglars worked for the CIA. The first of many dishonest Watergate stories was written by a 29-year-old Metro reporter called Bob Woodward. Who exactly was Bob Woodward? Well, he wasn't a journalist. Bob Woodward had no background whatsoever in the news business. Instead, Bob Woodward came directly from the classified areas of the federal government. Shortly before Watergate, Woodward was a naval officer at the Pentagon. He had a top secret clearance. He worked regularly with the intel agencies. At times, Woodward was even detailed to the Nixon White House, where he interacted with Richard Nixon's top aides. Soon after leaving the Navy, for reasons that have never been clear, Woodward was hired by the most powerful news outlet in Washington and assigned the biggest story in the country. And just to make it crystal clear what was actually happening, Woodward's main source for his Watergate series was the deputy director of the FBI, Mark Felt. And Mark Felt ran, and we're not making this up, the FBI's COINTELPRO program, which was designed to secretly discredit political actors the federal agencies wanted to destroy, people like Richard Nixon. And at the same time, those same agencies were also working to take down Nixon's elected vice president, Spiro Agnew. In the fall of 1973, Agnew was indicted for tax evasion and forced to resign. His replacement was a colorless congressman from Grand Rapids called Gerald Ford. What was Ford's qualification for the job? Well, he had served on the Warren Commission, which absolved the CIA of responsibility for President Kennedy's murder. Nixon was strong-armed into accepting Gerald Ford by Democrats in Congress. Quote, "We gave Nixon no choice but Ford," Speaker of the House Carl Albert later boasted. 8 months later, Gerald Ford of the Warren Commission was the president of the United States.
So there you have that. Now, he mentioned, Tucker mentioned COINTELPRO. I want to just touch on that. And he mentioned Gerald Ford, obviously. Who ultimately was the vice president under Ford? Eric the Tech. I don't expect you to know this. Any guess? No, it wasn't SpongeBob. All right. Nelson Rockefeller. You were close, though. All right. Interesting, right? Nelson Rockefeller, the governor of New York. But, okay. But he mentioned, Tucker mentioned COINTELPRO. I wanted to touch on this briefly because what we're seeing is exactly that today, along with chaos. Operation Chaos and the COINTELPRO project back in the 60s. And early 70s were really going strong. Of course, that was exposed by the Church Committee. Now, if you remember what happened with the Church Committee, a lot of exposure, but what did the Church Committee end up, what was the result of that? Not much. Just shocking the American public, but that also birthed the FISA courts. And then eroded some of our Fourth Amendment rights. Now, COINTELPRO is just like it sounds, a counterintelligence program, BRP project. Obtaining counterintelligence in Operation Chaos, of course, that also had its run during the 60s and even today. It has to do with surveillance and using confidential informants and what have you. You can look these up and do a deep dive on these. But the reason I mention this in the context of Nixon, if you take right before that, right before Nixon's resignation, when COINTELPRO was used in the operational part of the takedown of Richard Nixon and chaos, same thing with Agnew, again, tax evasion, and apply it to today. You can apply it to today, but I want to apply it back even before that, into the 60s. When you look at the 60s, what happened during the 60s? You saw assassinations, incredible number of assassinations. And part of COINTELPRO and chaos, but COINTELPRO primarily, along with COINTELPRO was married up with another operation called MKUltra. Now, MKUltra was more of a, again, a CIA operation that was supposed to be used offshore, not against American citizens. But when you look at the, when you start taking apart the components of MKUltra and COINTELPRO, you can see where the Haight-Ashbury district of San Francisco was full of COINTELPRO assets and MKUltra assets from the CIA that cut their teeth on the Korean War and post-Korean War activities, specifically with the drug LSD. Okay, now, again, I'm getting to a point here. All right, so when you look at the hippie movement back in the 60s, where did it really originate? It originated on really the last Friday of the 50s, known as Black Friday, with a sit-in at UC Berkeley. Okay, now that ushered in the decade of the 60s, and that brought people, individuals of our government, into the Haight-Ashbury district of San Francisco. Now, you've heard Paul McGuire talk about this. Maybe not to this granular level of detail, but you had seen where Nixon met with Helms and said, look, I know that you guys, essentially, and I heard the video, the audio tape was just released 2 weeks ago. And I heard the audio tape, nothing special. You get the idea. I was going to play it for you, but you get the idea. Of course, Helms was met with silence. Now, before Helms was John McCone of the CIA. Again, this is kind of important, and I'm going to connect everything together here to today. Now, McCone and Hoover worked together. Hoover was anti-communist, or at least that's kind of how he played its cards, which is a good thing. McCone, in any crisis, would be a good crisis. Let's just see what we can do to the different people. Let's see what we could do to people, and of course we'll do it. But the Haight-Ashbury hippie movement, the decline of America that originated at Berkeley, at UC Berkeley, in the Haight-Ashbury district, was fueled by way of COINTELPRO chaos and the use of LSD. Okay, now hang with me on this. You saw the murder of JFK on television. That was mentioned. What wasn't discussed was the murder of Jack Ruby. When you look at Jack Ruby and you do a deep dive on that, you'll find some memory issues, some memory blackouts, ostensibly. Now, people will say, well, that's just, it didn't happen that way. But yes, it did. And then he got cancer. Gee, interesting. And then died. But he wouldn't talk in Dallas. He wouldn't talk where he was at. He wanted to be taken to D.C. and talked to, and they wouldn't allow him. They would not allow. Okay. Now, LSD, was that used or could that have been used in conjunction with MK Ultra assets for mind control on Ruby? Or was it simply just a mob hit? Or even still, was it what Jack Ruby said? I felt bad for Jackie, so I wanted to do him in. Well, things don't happen in a vacuum. And when you start connecting dots, you start looking at the push using LSD and mind control. You start seeing things like the assassination of, that's right, MLK, the assassination of RFK, Robert F. Kennedy. Now, with respect to that, if you dig deep into RFK, and forget about Special Unit Center from the LAPD, and forget about that moron Vincent Bugliosi, what a crackpot that guy was, and whatever. Forget about that. But follow the clues with COINTELPRO, chaos, MK Ultra, and the use of LSD. Okay, hold that thought. Now come to relatively current times. What do we see in Afghanistan? What do we see in Iraq? What have we seen overseas? We've seen basically the same operational playbooks play out, including COINTELPRO. Chaos, of course, but that's, again, that's allowed by charter for the CIA. But the use of drugs, and drugs as a commodity in addition to their use. Okay, now fast forward to today. What are we seeing with Hunter Biden? You're seeing a lot of crack use, self-admitted crack use. You're seeing a lot of drug use. You're seeing a lot as well of fentanyl coming over the borders with that 250,000 people I told you about. The MK Ultra part of this today, I believe, is in full force and full swing. It didn't stop with the church committee. It has never stopped. It's only changed names, people, places, and methods. I say that because I believe when you look at the people involved, especially when you're looking at things like Obama, where did he come from, by the way? As a question, where did Barry Santoro come from? Do we really have any bona fides on Obama? Who's pulling Biden's strings, at least at the first tier? Who's pulling Biden's strings? It's Obama and Jarrett and Rice. Okay, they're pulling O'Biden's strings, Joey Sixplug's strings. Now again, this is important because remember back in 12 and 13, well, even before that, we talked about the eligibility, constitutional eligibility of Barack Hussein Obama. You remember that? Okay, the lack of the long-form birth certificate. Oh, we finally got one, but we really didn't get one, did we? There was a PDF copy that was allowed to be seen. So, but the background of Obama was wiped out. I mean, really wiped out, really cleaned up. The legend of Obama was cleaned up. Or stated differently, he was given a legend. And what was his purpose? His purpose was to be insinuated into our political system as a communist and a globalist to fundamentally change this country. The same assets that were used in the 50s and the 60s, although refined tremendously, are being used today. I'm not saying LSD, but I'm saying the same types of operations from MKUltra to Chaos to COINTELPRO. And honestly, when I look at COINTELPRO, in a sense, I can see Biden right there as not a willing participant, but a victim of that. Does that make me feel sorry for him? Hell no. But it does have I'm just calling like I see it. It has the fingerprints of COINTELPRO on this, and Chaos on this, where they're making him look bad. Now, how so? By the classified documents, okay? All right. Who's doing that? It's the people that don't want him to run again. Obviously, the Obamas, the Jarretts, the Rices. Now, why wouldn't they want him to run again? Because they're grooming others. They're grooming Gavin Newsom, for one. And they've got a couple of other in the pipeline. But you've got to think bigger on this. Excuse me. You've got to think a lot bigger on all of this. Everything that you've seen over the last 60 years has really been an illusion. And I don't say that lightly, because people look at you like, man, what's wrong with you? You're talking about LSD. You had too much? No, research really the origin, Swiss origins on LSD, the laboratory, and how it was used by our military. And how it was used to shape, well, to control the public. All right. Now, I'm going to put a pin in that for right now. Again, I'm going to wrap this up really neat. Hopefully, I'll get through this. The World Economic Forum. Let's go to video three. I want you to see this. Tony Blair is calling for a national digital infrastructure or a digital ID. This is what this is all about. This is for all the marbles. This is what they've been working for forever. This is the ultimate objective. This is about 2 minutes in length, a little less than 2 minutes. And watch this, listen to this, and then I'll catch you on the other side. Here it is.
Believe me, most the people sitting in Downing Street at the moment are not talking about COVID. And at the G7 and the G20, I think you won't get the focus you need unless it's clear two things. One, that there is an ongoing challenge and opportunity. And I think that is not just about COVID. It's about the fact that we are going to have a whole slew of new vaccines, injectables, that are going to deal with some of the worst diseases in the world, that give us the opportunity to make big changes in the health of the world. And if you want the politicians to focus, they need to think, look, this is coming down the track soon. Because if you tell them about a future pandemic, they'll kind of go, yeah. No. I think there's a huge impetus now for a national digital infrastructure. Digitization in healthcare is, I think, one of the great game changers. You know, we should be helping countries to develop a national digital infrastructure, which they will need with these new vaccines. And then, you know, finally, it's also about showing people and showing the political leadership that you can make a positive difference to your healthcare system by adopting these measures, because they've got an impact beyond any particular disease and or pandemic. So I think if you want to keep the political focus, and I agree it's vital that you do, you've got to show people that this is a continuing issue, right? It's not a future issue, it's here and now. It's got a broad set of implications, and there are a set of solutions that COVID has taught us arising out of the challenges of COVID, to which if we apply the right political will, we can make our healthcare systems better, not just for pandemic and disease, but more generally for the health of the population. If you do that, they'll think there are votes in it. And, you know, if there are votes in it, they'll focus.
All right. It has nothing to do with health. It has nothing to do whatsoever with healthcare. As a matter of fact, before we go to the next video, if I can go to page two. You're going to get a little sneak peek of what's coming your way, I think. I don't know if Eric set this up this way. But for those listening, if you want to go to HagmanReport.com and check on the front page. HagmanReport.com, right? Yeah, still. Okay. HagmanReport.com. And it will be that, but there's going to be some other things too. And watch this, and also subscribe to Rumble and Brighteon. But check this out. This is page two on your show notes. If you go to HagmanReport.com, open up the segment, check the notes. There it is. This is page two. Check this out. I wrote this on November 12th, 2013, the unspoken success of Obamacare. How many people remember? Now, that's November 12th of 2013, that's almost 10 years ago I wrote this. This is about Obama taking over, or the assets with Obama, essentially the globalists taking over 25% of our national health care to match, for example, the socialized medicine of other countries. If you scroll, well, you know what? You don't have to scroll down any more than that. I just wanted to kind of show you that I wrote about that. And on page three, shedding the layers of the Obamacare onion, what I'll do, excuse me, I'll put these, can I link to these, Eric the Tech, on the show notes? Okay, I can't link to these. I'm sorry. Just suffice it to say that Obama had his sights set on this very issue back in 2012, 2013, and 2014. The Obamacare that would usher in the digital ID. And I lay this out in these articles as well. All right. But it's not about health. It's not about your vaccine passport. It's about everything. It's about complete control. Again, the pin's still in that, the 50s and 60s, the 60s specifically, MK Ultra, control over the individual, as well as Chaos and COINTELPRO. Okay, the pin's still there. But think about the 60s in the context of video 4 in the show notes, which is COVID was a pretext for the medical matrix that globalists hope to force upon the world. I have a little problem with that title because it goes into more than that. Watch this from Steve Bannon. I believe this is Naomi Wolf.
Tony Blair laid out yesterday, ma'am.
Well, he laid out something that's been in their map since before the pandemic. They have planned for this digital infrastructure that would track everyone, everywhere, forever, since the late 2010s. They planned a digital ID for Europe, you know, some years ago. And what is obvious, and I made this case in The Bodies of Others and in this viral video you're referencing as well, the pandemic and the lockdowns and the only way out of lockdown is the vaccine, and the only way to make sure you've had your vaccine and to let you back into society is to give you a digital passport. That's all pretext to lock people into this matrix, this digital matrix, which is the China-style social credit score. And they are not giving up. And you heard him say, you know, I hope you picked up the body language of these people now is fascinating. You know, he's nervous. No one believes what they're saying anymore. He knows it's nonsense, but they're barreling ahead. You heard him say future vaccines will be multiple injections. Well, we know now the reason for the multiple injections of this mRNA vaccine, and it's to increasingly debilitate people. There's no physiological need that we've seen anywhere in the Pfizer documents for multiple injections, except the studies out of Hong Kong, that the second one and then the third one are progressively damaging. So they're determined to herd us into smart cities, into the Internet of Things, and into a healthcare-based rationale for a social credit system like China, where literally they can turn off your, as we see in China, they can turn off your credit card, they can turn off your savings, they can turn off your access to food, access to schooling, and they're not giving up. And this is the fight of our lifetimes.
Quickly, we got 30 seconds. I'm holding you through the break.
Yeah, that's fine. If we need to, we can come back to that. But in the interest of time, folks, go to HagmanReport.com, two ends on Hagman, and watch these in their entirety, because what you miss may be important for your understanding of where I'm going with all of this. Again, back in the 60s, specifically the 60s, early 60s, you were looking at designer drugs like LSD, for example, to take control over not just a person, but a segment of the population for a very specific purpose. Now, one of the, and I would contend this, and to kind of give you an idea, an ultimate test of LSD, I believe, was the Manson murders, or the murders that were done under the tutelage of Charles Manson, the Tate LaBianca murders, okay? And you might think, what's that? Depending on your age group, or if you remember that, you remember the horrific, how horrific that was. Remember the racist element that was imposed there, okay? The Hollywood involvement, a tremendously huge Hollywood involvement there. A tremendously huge musical entertainment involvement there with the Beach Boys and so on. Okay. But the idea there was to control others. Now, what are we seeing with, and Naomi Wolf pointed this out, this is all about now you've gone from that, those conditioning processes, to more of a digital, obviously the digital control, including but not limited to what? Neuralink and other such implants to monitor and control your entire existence, essentially. All right. But what happened on the way to that end? Something happened. Whoops. People began waking up. Well, how did that happen? Well, you can see that the injections are not good. Not good. You're having sudden adult death syndrome, never before. But they'll tell you, well, it's climate. It's, you know, because it's too cold, it's too hot. People, you know, 2 years just sitting on your butt playing video games. You go out and play a football game and, hey, you're bound to get a heart attack, have a heart attack, or whatever that stupid, idiotic excuse is, because they think you're stupid. They think I'm stupid. We're not stupid. All right. But you do have that segment of the population that is brainwashed. Okay. Now, this next video here, this is Dr. Peter McCullough. This is what happened, and this is what has been exposed. I think that this is probably one of the best three-minute videos of Dr. Peter McCullough of late that I've seen. I urge you to watch this and watch. And again, think about the government's role in COINTELPRO, Chaos, MKUltra, that kind of stuff. And think about the Army's role, DARPA, BARDA, their role into these injections today, as well as the original virus, the bioweapon. Think about that today. Watch this.
Ralph Barrett kind of got off the hook with this, didn't he? Like, we focused on Peter Daszak and Fauci, but Barrett was doing a lot of this. Wasn't he with Xizheng Li, the scientist in the Wuhan lab, right? Weren't they coupling...
Well, I tell you, you know, you just go on the government website. You know, if you go to the DARPA website, the research division of the military, they have a program called the ADEPT P3 program. It's right on the website. It says in 2012, we started using messenger RNA and genetic vaccines to try to end pandemics in 60 days. That's DARPA. And the money flowed from DARPA. And then the research unit of the NIH is BARDA. They flow to academic doctors, and they're allowed to write grants. So Ralph Barrick is the most knowledgeable person on coronaviruses in the world. He was publishing on these in 1992.
Wow.
So what we know is, once the U.S. military had this goal of making messenger RNA vaccines, the money started to flow to academic researchers and defense contractors, basically. So, prominently, Moderna received one of the first flows of money to work on messenger RNAs from DARPA, and it was led by Stefan Bainzel. Remember, he's the CEO of Moderna. He was the CEO of bioMérieux. bioMérieux is the French company that built the Chinese lab. They built the biosecurity lab in Wuhan, China. So he switches after the lab is built in Wuhan, China. Then he switches from bioMérieux to Moderna. So Bainzel knows the lab really well because he built it.
Yeah,
that's quite the revolving door.
This is in the open. You know, you just click on the internet, and everything's in the white. You don't have to guess where this came from. So Ralph Barrick, with U.S. government research, publishes the papers. They show how they made it more lethal and more infectious. And they had to subcontract the work to Wuhan, China, to this lab. The first paper they published, there's no Chinese authors. They just thank the Chinese for doing the work in the lab. The second paper, first paper's in Nature Communications, and next one's in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Science in 2015, summarizing work from 2012 to 2015. The second paper, they include three Chinese authors, including the Bat Lady, Dr. Xinghua. But this is people need to understand, this is not controversial. This is a U.S. government project that made SARS-CoV-2 more invasive and at the same time developing monoclonal antibodies and vaccines. It's in the published literature. It's not a subject of controversy. It's in rock solid, peer-reviewed, NIH acknowledged research papers.
One of the papers that Barrick published was directly out of UNC Chapel Hill. Like, it was their letterhead on it.
It's UNC Chapel Hill. There's some collaborators at Harvard. There's some collaborators in Switzerland. and then the work is done in Wuhan, China. Now, just a few years ahead of that, the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston brought over a Chinese scientist to work with SARS-CoV-1 to see if they could actually tweak it.
Okay, there you heard now verification, researched verification of, and we knew this, of the military's involvement. And you can also, by way of BARDA, specifically DARPA, but BARDA as well, the intelligence community overlap into the universities as well, from the military to the universities, with an overlap by the intelligence community, okay? Now, let me ask you a question. Who was the FDA director from 2017 through 2019? Scott Gottlieb. We've talked about Dr. Scott Gottlieb before, American physician and investor, 23rd commissioner of the FDA from May 2017 until April 2019. All right, when you start looking at Gottliebs, you also have Sidney Gottlieb. Now, Sidney Gottlieb was really into the MK Ultra, LSD, and other kind of experimentation on the human population. But I momentarily digress, harkening back to the beginning or earlier part of the show. Again, there are connections, and then there are connections. Now, we know that Ralph Baric is part of this, that Fauci. We know that the different organizations, as you heard, and including the governmental organizations that you heard, were involved in the development of the weapon, both the virus as well as the injection. Now we find out from Judicial Watch, and this is page 4 in the show notes, Judicial Watch, the FDA records show a significant number of RMA test rats dying. Okay, now this is very interesting because on this Judicial Watch paper, let me get to this here because this is absolutely gold. It's gold, Jerry, it's gold. Hang on 1 second here. I'll get to it. I will. Where'd it go? Okay. If you look at your screen, folks, just go ahead, take a look at your screen right there. There's 19 different points about their findings, about Judicial Watch's findings based on their lawsuits through the FOIA. Judicial Watch has uncovered a substantial amount of information using regarding the SARS-CoV-2 issues. October 2020, Judicial Watch received FDA records that detailed pressure for COVID-19 vaccine booster approval and use, again, as early as October of 2020. NIH records revealed FBI inquiry into, did you see that? FBI's inquiry into the National Institute of Health's controversial but bat coronavirus grant tied to the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Again, if you can't see, you can look at this in a number of different ways. One, of course, being innocuous and kind of a white hat kind of way. Another being part of the issue. I sense the latter. The records, writes Judicial Watch, also shows National Institute of Allergy and, well, NAIAD. The officials there were concerned about the gain of function research in China's Wuhan Institute of Virology back in 2016. The Fauci agency was also concerned about Echo Health Alliance, Ralph Baric, the lack of compliance with reporting rules and gain of function research. So they all knew what they were doing, where this came from, and this was a government and non-governmental organization in conjunction with the intelligence community, as well as other countries, including but not limited to the Communist Chinese Party. This was an act of war. And some of the same groups that you see on this, these 19 Health and Human Services, the FDA, and some of the NGO or some of the universities and NGOs. Well, the current iterations thereof were active back in MK Ultra, and as well as Operation Chaos. Think about this for a minute. They have been trying to take us over for obviously for decades, but here is really the proof. And when you start looking at the bigger picture and understanding that the lie is different at every level, it's in the huge cruising altitude view of this, you can see where we're all headed, where this is headed. But Biden seems to have a problem right now, and we're going to get right into this. This is video 5 in your show notes. Boris Epstein, and I'll hurry through this as quickly, well, be as quick as I can here. Boris Epstein discusses the crime and cover-up of Biden classified documents. He makes some good points here. And please listen to him carefully. And think about this now against the backdrop. Yes, I'm going to say it again. Against the backdrop. That's okay, Steve. Relax, bud. Of COINTELPRO. Go ahead.
Question. It's not often the New York Times writes a piece that I think completely eviscerates, and I've got to get behind the paywall and pushes out everywhere. This piece that's out on the 68 days of Biden, it's so damning on every level. It's damning on Garland and the Justice Department, but it's particularly damning on Joe Biden. And you see that Bob Bauer and Anita Dunn, as I predicted, have had their hands all over this from the get-go. In fact, Boris, I might give you a head tip, too, on Anita Dunn and Bauer. I think you gave me an assist on that. Walk me through this article, which is a blockbuster today in the New York Times.
Steve, honor to be with you. Honor to be with the posse. Another huge, major day. And as you said, you've got the New York Times and the Washington Post doing these robust, let's be honest, powerhouse pieces, just absolutely annihilating Biden and his whole team. And today they called the 68 days of silence. They said, oh, Biden, when he first heard of these documents, they thought, oh, maybe we try to draw a contrast on just how big and bad Donald Trump is. And Joe Biden is just such a good guy. Wrong. Fail. Utter fail. And the collusion, the utter collusion between Biden's White House using taxpayer resources, which we talked about first year, exclusive for the war room posse, always signal not noise from the pop. The Biden White House, the Biden pathetic team, the Biden crime family, and the DOJ, the level of collusion raises the age-old question in Washington, D.C. It's not just the crime, but it's also the cover-up. It's not just the crime, but it's also the cover-up. So now you've got this New York Times piece that talks about the 60 days of silence, how they try to hide it from the American people, hide this disaster before the midterms, and how it's completely blown up in their face. And Karine Jean-Pierre's getting called out, Joe Biden's getting called out, and the chickens have not yet come home to roost, because now Breitbart is reporting these secret letters going between the Biden team and DOJ. Meanwhile, President Trump's home gets raided and broken into. Meanwhile, the DOJ is leaking information that's under seal, under protective order. Meanwhile, President Trump and his supporters are being attacked. So the contrast couldn't be clearer. President Trump said it in a robust powerhouse video in the last 24 hours. The fact of the matter is we don't have a single tier of justice system in this country. It's a two-tier system of justice. But President Trump is not going to be deterred. He's going to continue fighting for the American people.
By the way, the part where they found it in their initial strategy was to go to the Justice Department and hope that the Justice Department kept it quiet before the midterms. And then after, they thought it would upset it. And it's in black and white right there in the New York Times. Remember, Boris, also from whatever happened on November 2nd today, the collusion part will pale when we go from November 2nd all the way to the day that Joe Biden left the White House, those 6 years. This is going to be, this is a crime scene. These are major crimes. These are major felonies. And what they've done now to lie about it is actually extraordinary. And it's stunning to me that the mainstream media, which is still trying to be a Praetorian guard, it's so outrageous that even they have to do some real reporting. Boris Epstein.
It is outrageous. And Steve, the reason they have to report it is because it's so in your face. It's so blatant. And because what has happened is the Biden crime family thought that they were impenetrable. They thought that they could not be attacked. They thought that they could get away with anything and laugh and spit in the face of the American people. But now, again, they have failed to fool Americans. They have failed to fool the American public. And they're in real trouble here. And the information coming out about the rent payments in Delaware, the deals with the Chinese, with a company from the Chinese Communist Party, all of that is a huge problem for Joe Biden and for those who control him. This is a major issue, and I do not see how the hopeless, pathetic Biden regime is going to get out of it. And let's be honest, the mainstream media is completely shooting him, sending him overboard. They're shooting him down. They're not interested. They're throwing him into the water because Biden isn't just terrible at his job. He's terrible at handling this crisis.
All right. So what do we see there? 68 days of silence, meaning from right before, this was known before the midterms, was held up by the New York Times and by other media outlets, including CBS, which just had jumped on this of late and really taken this to the wire. Compare this now, compare and contrast to what? The Washington Post from Nixon. Remember Tucker Carlson talking about Woodward and Bernstein. Where did they come from? Where did Bob Woodward come from? Oh, that's right. The intelligence community into the Washington Post as a reporter. Now you've got the New York Times dogging Biden in a very kind of similar fashion. Then you had the Washington Post dogging Nixon. What are we to make of that? That's my question to you. Okay. Lost my place here. Okay, we got that one. All right. I'm going to show you this. I'm going to throw one more piece of the puzzle into the mix. I don't know how many people saw this. I don't know how many people know this, folks, and Eric the Tech, this will be video 2 in the show notes. You know, when you are probing and prodding and getting to the truth of things like the New World Order, of the one world, the quest for this one world government, there's a certain element of danger, and you might blow that off and say, oh, it's overstated, BS. Well, I don't know how many people know a gentleman by the name of George Neumeier. George Neumeier, it was an investigative journalist. He died last Thursday. What did he die from? Malaria. Now, about a week before that, he was sick, supposedly from food poisoning. How many people do you know die from malaria these days? It's kind of dying from tonsillitis or appendicitis. I'll throw in an extra level of danger there if your appendix bursts. But and he was over in an area in Africa at the time where, you know what? Yeah, you could pick up malaria. But there's something else going on. But what was he investigating? What was George Neumeier investigating? Look, I don't know this man, and I could be totally wrong. My heart goes out to his family, his friends, everyone who knew him. But when you look at the different elements that are poised against us, including the Vatican, okay, including this specific Pope and some of the cardinals surrounding this pope? You've got to ask yourself, could there be something more to this death? Especially if we can go to attachment. I'm killing you, aren't I? If you can go to attachment number one, in the show prep on the first, there it is right there. Take a look at this. This is George Neumeyer on the left. This is a tweet, and this is a meme. All right. Making fun of the current pope and his covering for the currency of the globalists, which are which is the children and the pedophiles who traffic in them. And the pope on the right saying, "You don't want me to phone in your funeral, George?" Question mark. I can't see the date on that, but it doesn't matter. It was I think in November, early December. That was attachment number two. Right after that, there's another one that you can see. Thank you, George Neumeyer, December 23rd. This is important. Remember the time I discovered McCarrick's DC hideout? Now, this is Cardinal McCarrick, who was a pedophile. I knocked on the door, got past the housekeeper, seriously debated going up to McCarrick's room on the second floor, decided against that, fearing a criminal offense and death. Teddy, the cardinal, might have shot me. Interesting. Armchair philosopher wrote, George Neumeyer died tomorrow. And there's a picture with a noose around his neck. Architect, thank you so much. Your savior with respect to the size. And then the final attachment. December 23rd, 2022. I'm just going to read the top one, and you can find this, folks, on your own. And I suspect there will be some murders before this is over, maybe even my own. I am not joking. This is getting scary. Folks, when you get into this arena, when you start poking the bear and start going after pedophiles, it is a very serious issue. The only thing I can equate it to that I know about, When you get into homicide investigations and you start talking to people who've killed other people, you know, and you're not a cop, you're not a cop, okay? Or even if you are, I'm telling you what, things can get really dicey. And the more we probe into things, because... Again, let me go back to the beginning here. What Tucker Carlson opened with, that beautiful layout of history and how it all connects really to today. Back in 63, we had a president get his head blown off in front of millions of people watching it live on television. And then his assassin get killed by a man, perhaps... part of the MKUltra program, a victim of the MKUltra program, perhaps. Definitely all a part of COINTELPRO in chaos. To today, the stakes are only going to get higher. But I ask you this. What does it cost to be a patriot? What does it cost for your soul? What does it cost for the lives and the future of your children and our grandchildren? That I ask. You can't put a price on that. So together we fight. We keep them on the run every single day because we are starting to win and that's pissing them off. Let's keep doing that. Until tomorrow, God bless. I think tomorrow, Randy Taylor, possibly. Talk to you tomorrow.